Welcome to the Connected Leadership Podcast by Zentano, for forward-thinking leaders who want to lead with confidence, clarity, and impact. We bring you grounded wisdom, real stories from real leaders, conversations that leave you thinking differently, feeling inspired, and ready to act. Let's dive in. So hello and welcome back to the Connected Leadership Podcast by Zentano. This is one of our Leadership Unscripted episodes and the second in our Emotional Intelligence series. These conversations where Rich and I explore leadership as it shows up in the real world and particularly under pressure. In the last episode, we talked about why some of the smartest, most capable and confident leaders still struggle and how leadership failure today is rarely about a lack of intelligence or technical skill. We want to focus today in this episode on the mirror that most leaders avoid. Because repeatedly in our work, we see leaders with good intent, strong values, and a genuine desire to lead well who simply cannot see the impact they're having on others while it's actually happening. They don't lack commitment, they don't lack effort, and they often don't even lack reflection. What they lack is in-the-moment awareness, particularly under pressure. So today, we're exploring why self-awareness is the leadership mirror most people avoid, and why without it, emotional intelligence simply cannot develop. So Rich, welcome to the podcast.
Hi Dave, thank you.
Let's start there with the comment I just made. If self-awareness is so foundational to emotionally intelligent leadership, why is it so difficult for leaders to generally develop it?
I think there are a number of factors for that. The first thing I'd probably say would be there's a fundamental misunderstanding of what self-awareness is in some
people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So by that, I mean some people think that self-awareness is being aware of like the voice inside your head.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And we all have that to a greater or lesser degree. Some people have a very dominant internal voice, some people much less so. Mm-hmm. It's more indistinct. But when we talk about self-awareness from an emotional intelligence perspective, we're not just talking about that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because you can be aware of the voice inside your head, but you've no idea why those thoughts or feelings are emerging. And actually, when we're talking about self-awareness, we're talking about something much, much deeper. The other thing to say is when we talk about the deeper understanding of what true self-awareness is, which we'll explore in this episode, actually, in order for us to develop that, we need to go through a process of I hesitate to use the word because it's overused, but transformation. And what I mean by that is, essentially, we need to rewire our brain. So the fundamental relationship between us and our thoughts and our feelings is transformed and changed in quite a deep way. So actually, it requires transformational learning, and it's a process that people go through. So it's not just a matter of going on an emotional intelligence course.
No.
Learning intellectually what self-awareness is, and then suddenly you're self-aware.
My next question is going to build on what you've just said there. I wanted to start off with, before we get into the mechanics of how we do this, mm-hmm. is to why does self-awareness matter so much? You know, why should we be looking in this mirror? So my question was, yeah. Why is self-awareness so often talked about in leadership, but so rarely practiced in a way that genuinely changes behaviour? Because ultimately, if it doesn't change behaviour, so what? Why, if you can pick up that point for me, why does it genuinely not always change behaviour?
Because deep self-awareness is difficult to develop, frankly.
Okay.
So that goes back to the comment I was making about actually becoming more self-aware is a learning process that we go through, which requires us to essentially rewire our brain. The other reason why it doesn't often genuinely change behaviour is because there's a difference in good intent and actual impact. Because, again, it goes back to the comment I made about a deeper understanding about what self-awareness is when we talk about it. So self-awareness is the gateway to emotional intelligence.
Okay.
So Daniel Goleman, for example, talks about the centrality of self-awareness in his emotional intelligence model. So he starts with self-awareness, and then that moves out to the ability to self-manage or self-regulate. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He also talks about two other aspects of emotional intelligence. He calls social awareness and relationship management.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think sometimes actually people disconnect self-awareness from those two facets of emotional intelligence.
Interesting. Yeah.
So when we talk about self-awareness,
yeah,
the self-awareness is not just about understanding the thoughts and the feelings inside your head and inside your body. It does include that. Okay. But it also includes a deeper understanding of why those are arising in the first place. But also self-awareness is not like introspection as such. It might involve that.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody is overly introspective and self-absorbed, think about that concept for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They're self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're so caught up with their thinking and their feeling, what's going on inside their head. They're completely unaware. In other words, they lack the social awareness.
Yeah.
And there's the impact of their behaviour on those around them. So a very simple example of that might be, I learnt about myself a while ago that I'm a naturally reflective person. So in meetings, I tend to sit back, stay quiet, and then jump in where when I feel the need to do so, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. No.
But if you're a leader leading a team and you're sat in a meeting and you've gone quiet and reflective, sometimes people won't know why I've gone quiet.
Mm.
And there were times where I started to become aware that people were thinking, well, is Rich gone a bit passive aggressive? Is he disinterested? So my self-awareness developed by me becoming more aware of the impact of my behaviours or lack of behaviours on the people around me. So I think it's really important that actually understanding self-awareness means, to be sure, understanding our thoughts and our feelings and what lies behind those. It also involves understanding the impact of our behaviours on others around us, so we're not so self-absorbed, we're only thinking about ourselves. But the other thing that self-awareness does, and this is really important, it creates choice.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, somebody absolutely. who perhaps lacks self-awareness will have a tendency to be very reactive in a situation and not thinking with choice and intentionality, thinking and feeling with choice and intentionality.
And I'm guessing because under pressure, that's why it gets harder, because that's when the pressure rises, it's harder to do this, isn't it, basically?
Exactly right.
Rich, just to summarise what you've just said there, self-awareness is the gateway skill for being emotionally intelligent as a leader. And you and I would advocate that all leaders should lead mm-hmm. with emotional intelligence.
Agreed.
You cannot regulate what you cannot recognise. I think you made that point really clear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between good intent and actual impact. Yeah, so we can still have good intent, but have negative impact. And also, a thing probably that wasn't necessarily said, but I think it is worth saying, is that self-awareness is not a personality trait. It's not something that some people have got and some people haven't.
You
can develop it. It's a skill. You can develop it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah.
And as you said, ultimately, the more awareness you've got, the more choices it creates for you as well. So there's a whole raft of reasons there, really, why self-awareness matters so much. So the next sort of question I want to ask you is all around why leaders lose their degree of self-awareness. So, Rich, what happens to self-awareness as leaders become more senior, they take on greater responsibility and they become more accountable? Why does sometimes self-awareness start to sort of fade away a bit?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question. And actually, it's quite timely because I had a coaching conversation just this morning, actually, with somebody about this very issue. And we were talking about me doing some work with this person and with their team. And actually, the comment they made to me, I thought showed good level of self-awareness because they wanted me to come in and do some facilitation work with the team because he wanted to encourage the team members to share stuff about how the team's working, how his leadership is working and stuff like that. And he said, you know, the challenge I've got is, you know, these were relatively inexperienced people in terms of where they are at in their career. And he's an older person like myself.
Right.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there are two dynamics playing into the dynamic between him and his team, his age and his authority.
Okay.
You know, perhaps even his gender. You know.
Okay.
So I think what happens is when leaders get promoted through the system and they get more authority, they get status and job titles attached to their role, that can be quite intimidating for some people.
So don't just assume
that because you are naturally, perhaps you are a naturally open person that develops rapport easily and you do your best to create a safe environment. You can do all that really well, but your authority, your status, your job title, other factors about who you are as a human being, that they will distort the feedback you receive from your people.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. So if the feedback you receive from your people gets distorted or diminished for whatever reason, okay, one of the tools that you use to develop self-awareness, and one of those tools is feedback. If that becomes diminished, there's a danger then that your self-awareness will become more limited because you're not really receiving all the honest feedback you need to receive.
No, it makes absolutely sense.
Authority distorts feedback. The other thing that often happens is as leaders become promoted, they have jobs that demand more of them, demand more of their time, more of their cognitive space, their cognitive capacity. So pressure also narrows your perception. Under pressure, we tend to become more left-brained, okay? And we have a tendency to become more narrow in our thinking. So that's going to reduce your ability to develop your self-awareness. And I think, again, you have less time, you have lots of demands on you, you're probably expected to deliver things at pace and quickly. And if you have a diary and a calendar where you have meeting after meeting after meeting, that's going to reduce your time to take a step back and to engage in reflective practice.
Yeah.
You know, so reflective practice post the event along with feedback, they're some of the two key tools that you can use to develop self-awareness, and as we become more senior, the efficacy of those tools, the usefulness of those tools becomes reduced.
Interesting. And I guess what we're talking about here, all those things you described are effectively what you and I would call blind spots, and those blind spots are being created by the system in which the leader is working in, basically.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I mean, it's not the leader's fault about the system they're in necessarily.
No.
But to understand that the system you're in will potentially create the opportunity for your blind spots to remain uncovered.
Yeah, and I guess what we should say here, that this lack of awareness is not a moral failing on anyone's account here. But it is a leadership risk.
Well, it might be.
Well, it might be, yeah. I mean, there are some people who purposely don't want to be self-aware.
Well, I don't know if purposely not self-aware, but, you know, there are some people that don't want to listen to others around them. They're driven by their own moral compass.
That's true.
You know, I can think of political leaders where, you know, I think their lack of self-awareness is actually, frankly, a moral failing. But
yeah,
I think for the majority of leaders listening to this podcast, that's definitely not going to be the case.
No, I shouldn't think we get those types listening to this too much. But whether it's a moral failing or not, the thing to say is it is a leadership risk. It really is a leadership risk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So let's dive into the whole topic of blind spots then. You know, what are the see that you don't see? In your coaching work, Rich, what are the most common blind spots that leaders talk to you about? That would be really interesting to sort of dive into that a little bit, really.
Yeah, okay. So the first thing I'd say, I mean, let's just define what a blind spot is.
Okay.
So a blind spot in my definition would be the gap between how leaders experience themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, what they think about themselves
versus
how others experience them.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a gap between those two things, which is why feedback is so important. Coupled with self-reflection. So self-reflection gives you, hopefully, a really deep understanding of yourself. That's your view of yourself. And you triangulate that with the view of others. And hopefully the gap is fairly narrow, but not always. And every human being will have gaps and blind spots. And by definition, you won't know what they are because they're blind spots.
No, and I guess, I mean, your experience is probably going to be similar to mine in that because there are too few organisations out there that I've come across where feedback is a sort of regular thing that people do, the systems in which leaders are working, you know, regularly are going to create these conditions where we're not getting the information we need to do that triangulation. Even if you're highly, as you said, highly reflective and you're sort of thinking about yourself and what's going on inside you, if you're not being able to triangulate that with the views of others because they're not telling you because culturally that's not what we do around here, that's going to cause a problem, isn't it? It really is going to cause a problem.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And don't mistake I didn't mean it that way versus the lived impact of your behaviour.
No.
You know, so you know, there's a huge difference between intent and effect. Okay, so having said all of that, I think some of the common blind spots show itself in, say, certainty would be the first thing I would say. So what I mean by that is when a leader's under pressure, and you know there's a need to make quick decisions, or there's disagreement and somebody needs to cut through all of that, the danger is that the certainty that a leader has sometimes can be driven by blind spots. So really understand that when you're stepping in and saying this is the way this has got to happen, okay, so you're stepping in to say this is what I think, this is my way, and you know, like it or lump it, this is what we're doing. Understand the impact that behaviour will have on others. So providing that certainty is driven by a deep level of self-awareness, okay, and it's not driven by a defensive behaviour. It's not driven by the need to be right or to be the person in control. Providing it's not driven by all of those things, okay, and then you're probably operating from a good place. But when you jump in with certainty, when you jump in with a need to control, be really clear about what are the motivations that's driving that sort of behaviour, and then the consequent impact of those behaviours on those around you. The other way that it can show itself up is, say, through impatience. So, you know, leaders are driven to deliver things and there can be frustration at lack of delivery. Now, how you show your impatience and how you choose to communicate that, whether it's appropriate or not, you know, is it your anxiety that's driving the impatience about the impact of you and, you know, the difficult conversations you're going to have for people upstairs? Or is it actually genuine impatience with the lack of performance inside your team? You know, there's a huge difference between the two. So again, you know, when you're impatient, person with deep level of self-awareness will know how to communicate that, whether to communicate that and how to communicate that, and then see the impact, be aware of the impact it has on their team.
Okay.
I guess another example, I mean, I talked about it in terms of, you know, my natural reflective style as a leader. When I look back, is sometimes my tendency to withdraw. So that might be to withdraw from making a decision that's going to cheese people off in the room. You know, so and I might self justify that withdrawal by saying, you know, we need more time to think about this. I need more time to think about it. But actually, if I really thought about it, you know, with a deep level of self-awareness, the real issue is I'm scared of what people are going to think. Or I'm scared of the conflict or whatever, you know. So be aware when certainty has, you know, comes to the fore, when control comes to the fore, impatience and withdrawal. I mean, I could talk about a lot of other things, but they're the four things that sort of occur to me initially.
Yeah, and regularly these things occur when people are under stress, when they're under pressure. That's absolutely right.
Exactly right, exactly
yeah.
right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's move that conversation on. And I guess the key point to make everything you said there is that leadership blind spots are most visible to everyone except the leader themselves. Because everyone else can see this stuff, can't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So let's go and talk about self-awareness under pressure a bit more, yeah? And I mean self-awareness in the moment, particularly. So many leaders would say they are self-aware. If you asked a bunch of leaders, a lot of them would say, yeah, I'm pretty self-aware. So what's the difference between reflective self-awareness, where you go away and think about stuff that's happened, and self-awareness that happens in the moment? Because I think there's a big difference there.
Yeah, there is a big difference there. So as we said, reflection after the moment, you know, when we've got time and space to think about what's happened and we do lessons learned, or we think about lessons learned from our perspective, that's an important tool, okay? And that's relatively easy to do because we usually pick a time to do reflective practice when we have the time and things are calm and we have the time and the space to think. That's very different, actually, than being, if you like, reflective in the moment.
Yeah.
I think it was the, what they call the American Navy SEALs. The elite sort of military body in America. They have this saying that under pressure, we don't default to being our best. We default to our level of training.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
And I was watching, you know, for the listeners may know that I'm a keen motorcyclist, and I watch quite a lot of YouTube motorcycle videos. And I was watching a motorcycle instructor video, and he said virtually the same thing. The same is true with motorcycling, because if you're going around a corner and you suddenly discover that you're going too quickly, you don't default to your best in that moment. You default to your level of training.
Yeah.
So if you've not been trained under pressure to brake in a corner, probably what's going to happen is you're going to panic and the fight, flight, freeze response will kick in. Hmm. Okay. So the true test of emotional intelligence and self-awareness is your ability to be able to hold yourself in that space to recognize, to see what's going on cognitively, emotionally, physically, and to understand what's driving that triggered behavior. And that's really tricky to do in the moment. And that requires a lot of practice. you're training yourself in those difficult moments to be able to stay calm. In the last episode, we called it creating time on the ball. So we use the analogy a top level football player under pressure. They're in the penalty box. They've got defenders all around them and they just seem to be able to dance through the defenders. And they just seem to have all the time in the world on the ball. You can guarantee that that's been practiced because under pressure, they have the ability to hold that space. Mm. Somebody can say that they're very self-aware as a leader. I think the litmus test for whether that actually is true is how do they behave under pressure?
In the moment.
In the moment.
Yeah. Okay. So insight after the event is important, and that is one way to develop the in-the-moment awareness. But actually, yes, as you said, actually practicing in pressure moments is probably the best way to do it. Yeah. And being aware. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on then and link it back to a little bit, because we did this conference series recently where we did 8 episodes on confidence in leadership. So this next bit I want to talk about, Rich, I've called it the confidence trap here, when confidence actually blocks your awareness. So how can confidence, which we've talked about as being foundational for any leader, actually get in the way of us being self-aware?
Yeah, so when we talked in our confidence series, we talked about the difference between false, pretended, performative confidence versus true confidence, you know, rooted in what we called true humility. So you know, a person with true humility has a deep awareness of their strengths. They value those, they allow those to flourish, but they also are not defensive and they're open to the fact that they have blind spots and gaps and weaknesses. And, you know, their internal way of being doesn't close down the possibility of learning from both of those aspects. So that's what we call true humility, operating from what we call in Centano the connected centre. So the danger with what we call performative confidence is, you know, sometimes, for example, a leader can become over-identified with their competence. So usually leaders have been often, you know, promoted through the ranks, and they probably have deep expertise, deep knowledge of the field that they're in, highly competent. I mean, not always the case, but, you know, we, you know, as a general rule. And the danger is that they use that competence as like a mask and a shield. So going back to the comments I was making earlier about, you know, the need for a leader to step in with certainty and say, right, you know, based on my knowledge and experience, this is what we should do. Understanding when that serves you well and your team well, and understanding actually when it doesn't, perhaps when it disempowers your team, undermines them. I think somebody with a deep level of self-awareness will know how to bring their experience and their competence to play in a given situation. I think the other thing, that if there's an over-reliance on competence or experience and knowledge, is actually that certainty that comes from that gets replaces natural curiosity. You know, so going back to my comment about, you know, what would somebody with true humility, what might that look like in practice? Well, what that might look like in practice is a person's open to feedback about their gaps, their blind spots, their weaknesses. And when they receive feedback, or when they see them behave in a way that's perhaps surprised themselves, they're curious as to what lies behind that, and they're open to doing stuff differently.
That's really interesting. I think.
So they're not defensive, and, you know, it's not defensiveness disguised as decisiveness, if you like.
No, the point I was going to make there, I think, is, it's very easy to tell ourselves in the modern world of, you know, of fast pace, we've got to make decisions, the pressure's on, all of this stuff that happens, is that we want that certainty. We want to make the decision or take an action.
Because we believe
we've got to do it there and then. Okay, if you're on the edge of a 300-foot cliff, and if you don't take some action, you're going to fall off and die. Yes, certainty. You haven't got time to be curious. You just got to do something. Yeah, but that is not the norm in terms of workplaces. Usually, the pressure that's there doesn't, it's not a life or death thing. So we have got time.
Exactly right, yeah.
We have got more time to be curious and ask those extra questions, haven't we?
Yeah. So it's really being self-aware about how your competence, your certainty, your decisiveness, the impact that has on your team, and the impact it has on the development and the empowerment and the capability of your team. And that's driven by self-awareness.
Yeah. So if we can develop our emotional intelligence and our humility, that will actually stabilise our confidence rather than weaken it, and that will actually make it easier to lead in these pressure situations with emotional intelligence, won't it?
Yes.
So let's do a bit of an operational reality check in terms of what we actually see out there in the world of leadership, Rich. So when you walk into organisations, what are the early signs that you see that a leader's self-awareness is slipping and it's starting to affect the culture in the business or the team dynamics?
Yeah. It's probably a little bit linked to what I've just been talking about, actually. But one of the things would be repeated patterns with different people or different situations. I can think of a number of examples of leaders that I've known. Maybe I've worked with them for them or been aware of them.
Yeah.
And you can see they go from one team or even from one organization to another organization. And you see a pattern of impact of their behavior. You know, so I know a couple of leaders, for example. I've seen them go from organization to organization to organization, team to team to team. And there's a pattern that they fall out with people.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the common factor between all those situations?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Now, the interesting thing, most people can see that and most people can see the pattern. So a person with a deep level of self-awareness will see the patterns and not see the patterns and blame other people or the situation. They will see the pattern and say, actually, okay, what am I contributing to this? What am I contributing to this? If you're a person who naturally blames other people or your situation for the impact of your behaviours, you're probably not self-aware, if I'm just being blunt.
No, I totally agree. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I guess other things I see, leaders rushing to fix, to be the hero, rather than stopping and listening, you know, going back to the point you were making just now. We've talked about, you know, the need for curiosity versus certainty. The other thing I would say, sometimes like emotional intelligence is dismissed as soft and fluffy stuff. Perhaps sometimes emotional data is dismissed as noise. I profoundly disagree with them, actually, but it was a coach I heard where they were talking about how they coached, and basically they said words to this effect. I'm not really exaggerating what they said. I don't go anywhere near the emotional stuff in coaching. And I thought, wow, okay.
Interesting.
so they were focusing on the sort of the processy behavioural sort of stuff, which is fine up to a point. But if a leader is not self-aware and doesn't understand the impact of their emotions and is not able to regulate that in an effective way, that's going to have a huge impact on bottom line, on people's productivity, on people's performance. So this is not soft and fluffy stuff. This is emotional noise, as some people call it, and they don't want to go there because this is business.
It's messy. Let's be honest, it can get messy.
Okay. It has an effect on the bottom line.
Of course it does. Yeah. And the more you ignore it, probably the worst effect it has on the bottom line, because it's not just about lack of performance. It can be you lose all your best people. You've then got to spend a fortune recruiting some more that you then repeat the same pattern and they leave as well. And it just goes round in a cycle, doesn't it? So, yeah, this is definitely not soft and fluffy. It's definitely the wrong way to describe it. Yeah. Okay, so there's a whole raft of things here, if anybody listening, you know, sees up some of those things happening in their organisation. I mean, without wanting to be a stuck record, but I think we've made this point time and time again, and we'll keep making it, is that point about being curious, about listening, about just asking the extra question or two, I think in the context of what we're talking about today is so important. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop trying to tell and start trying to listen and ask.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so you talked about what we call the connected centre. So let's just kind of bring things back a little bit to the connected centre. So when leaders realise that they've lost some self-awareness, that they're stressed, that they're being reactive, that they're disconnected, what does it need to return to a more centred, grounded state? What does that actually begin with?
Okay. So we talked about this in previous podcasts. You know, the analogy I used last time was creating time on the ball. Another way to to frame it is creating a gap between stimulus and response. And essentially, there's three things that's involved here. So in the moment, it's creating awareness before action.
Okay.
So that's the creating the time on the ball. So you're in a state where actually you're self-aware. This is not self-absorption.
No,
it's self-awareness.
No.
So you're tuned into self. You're tuned into those around you. You're noticing what's happening and not jumping in reactively to fix. And you're able to name your internal state without judgment. So in other words, you notice thoughts and feelings that arise, and there's an understanding of what's happening there. So you can name that emotion, and you'll perhaps understand why that emotion is being triggered. So with that knowledge, that self-awareness, you're then able to self-regulate. And self-regulation, that's for another conversation. So it's about noticing, it's about pausing, it's about reconnecting, and fundamentally, it's about creating choice to be able to self-regulate.
So this is just about orientating yourself properly, isn't it, really, in that
whatever
situation that you're in, yeah? I've just got to reorientate. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I've sort of slightly lost my sense of direction here, and I've got to bring it back to...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I said this before. In order to be able to do this in the moment... we need to be able to practice this. So practice noticing, pausing, reconnecting, and creating choice. Do that in low pressure moments in meetings. Keep doing it. Keep practicing it. Keep bringing yourself back. And that creates the ability then in the pressure moments to create time on the ball.
Hmm.
To not get sucked into the pressure moment. Frankly, if you don't practice this, you're not going to be more self-aware.
No, absolutely. So I think for today, Rich, we won't go too much further, but just to sort of summarise and wrap up, if we could put a few mm-hmm. threads together, what are the three or four key messages that you want to get across from what you've said today?
So, yes, self-awareness, I think you, did you use the word gateway?
Yeah.
Self-awareness is the gateway or the foundation of emotional intelligence. But often what we mean by that is profoundly misunderstood. Self-awareness is not introspection and self-absorption.
No, no.
It's about having a deep knowledge of self and others around us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a 360 view of self and our situation. Blind spots are normal. Blind spots are the gaps between how we see ourselves and how other people see ourselves. And, we have to try our hardest not to allow the feedback loops that help us develop ourselves and eliminate those blind spots to not get closed down. And I think leaders shape culture, they shape the climate within their team through presence, true presence, not intention. There's a difference in intention and impact, what I talked about, but true presence comes from operating from that connected centre, and that creates that awareness then creates choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the three things that have stood out for me, really, is that self-awareness is actually quite a deep thing. It's about being connected to your environment as well as yourself. That's really important.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We've all got blind spots. That's totally normal. But actually, unmanaged blind spots can be very costly. So we should pay attention to them. Yeah. And as you said, we shape the climate or the environment that we work in, not through what we intend to do, but what we actually do. Our leadership presence.
I just say one more thing, Dave, just to close, is none of us, when we talk about self-awareness and emotional intelligence, none of us, that includes the two of us, and we teach emotional intelligence stuff in workshops, none of us are the finished article in this.
No.
Everyone has blind spots. Everyone has aspects of their self-awareness that they will continue to develop, and hopefully, if you take a growth mindset to the grave, hopefully I'll be a better human being in a number of years' time than I am now by me continuing to develop my self-awareness.
Well, the goal isn't perfection here, is it? It's never...
No. Treat it as a journey and not a failure, because, everyone's on a journey with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess, you know, you don't lose effectiveness because you're a bad leader. You lose it because you can't see what pressure is doing to you in terms of how you show up, I guess is
a
good way of looking at it. So, Rich, as we close this episode, for anybody listening, here's some reflection Rich and I would like you to leave you with. Think about a recent leadership moment that didn't land the way you intended it to land. And don't think about what you said or did, but think about how you were showing up internally in that moment. Because self-awareness isn't about being self-critical, it's about giving yourself more choice. And I think, Rich, you made that clear, you know, really well with what you said. So in the next episode, we'll build on this and we'll explore what it means to stay grounded under pressure. So how leaders regulate themselves so that awareness doesn't just disappear the moment things get really, really hard. But Rich, thanks for your time again, as always, today.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening. This has been the Connected Leadership Podcast by Zentano, and we will be back again next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. If today's episode has struck a chord, please share it with someone that you might know that might need to hear it. Please give us a 5-star rating on your podcast channel because this really helps us to get reach and inspire more leaders. Every week we send out a newsletter called Foresight, containing top tips from each episode. There's also a book recommendation, a thought to reflect on, and some practical takeaways that you can apply in your day-to-day life. Visit zentanogroup.com/podcast, add your name to our mailing list. But for today, thank you for listening.